This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Malaysia welcomes and actively invites foreign investments. There is a well-developed infrastructure of support services and facilities, and a labor force that is priced relatively lower than in developed countries. Those weren't my words, but there was an excerpt taken from a 2013 business guide issued by the audit company PwC about doing business in Malaysia. On its website, the Prime Minister's Economic Transformation Program states that starting a business in Malaysia is quite easy. It also says that Malaysia always ensures investors an efficient process. And on the Malaysian Investment Development Authority's website, endless scrolls will still land you on a web post that talks about how Malaysia remains the number one destination for foreign investors. So that's pretty much the outlook we have of the climate for foreign investors here. It is clearly a very positive one. But has Malaysia really lived up to these claims? Do our migrant investors feel the same? Since the past 6 weeks, I've been bringing you stories from mostly blue-collar migrant workers in Malaysia. Their stories are very personal and chronicles about this odd space that they live in called Malaysia. Today, I'll still bring you that personal story, talking about that feeling of being foreign in this country. But it will be off a different angle. I will be speaking to an investor from Pakistan about his experience doing a business here, all the jumps through the hoops he had to do to establish himself, and also his relationship with Malaysia. This is the Evening Edition Migrant Series Far From Home, episode Migrant Does Business.
My name is Mohammad Rizwan, and actually I was from Pakistan originally, but living in a different countries. Like, I started my career from Pakistan, then I shifted towards UK. Actually, I have a double master degree. I have done Master's in Business Administration, then Master's in English. Then I specially trained in Cambridge University to teach IELTS. So along with the lectureship and others, I started over the business in UK. And from that day to till today is now 15 years. So I've been in business in a different categories and different commodities, dealing in a business for the last 15 years.
That was Muhammad Rizwan. He is a businessman, and he came to Malaysia to establish his business in 2012. He is a palm oil trader. He's divorced with two children and live alone here. He moved to Malaysia from Dubai after he found out about business potentials in this country.
In Dubai, I have learned a lot in the business category, especially in the banking and the trading. And in the trading, we deal in the commodities like iron scrap, like palm oil, like diesel, or other commodities which the people need, like sugar, like you may say the wheat and all. This is the whole which I used to do. But when I came in Malaysia, means my friend is used to live over here for so long, and they have the company, they are doing business over here, they got married with the locals here, and they told me it's very good and you can come and you can start over the business here. Why you are stuck up in Dubai? And Dubai actually got the financial recession at that time. So because of the financial recession, the business was going down. So he said the Malaysia is stable, so you must come and you start over here.
Rizwan was optimistic that he was headed for something good in Malaysia. But things haven't been easy. He almost feel like he was deceived, just to put it lightly. But he also may have too high of an expectation coming here. When we come back, Rizwan will talk about the emotional rollercoaster Malaysia has put him through, and also about his home in Pakistan. Muhammad Rizwan is a businessman. He's from Punjab, Pakistan. He came to Malaysia to establish a trading business in the palm oil industry in 2012. And he had high hopes of success and good life coming here. Rizwan loves the people, but he also has been too busy with his business that he cannot enjoy life that much, he said.
In my life, I'm alone here, living alone. I used to do the business things. Most of the things are on internet base. Either I sit in a house or either I sit in a bed. I don't care. My business is on all around the clock. So, yeah, for the recreational things, it's good. You can go out, you have a clubs. But I don't like these all kind of things. So I don't go out much. So just for the meetings. Honestly, in last 3 years, I must say, I didn't see the whole Kuala Lumpur in real. So, but I know the places, yes, because of the meeting, I just go with somebody or by taxi or by on, but just go and come back, didn't see here and there and what is it. And I know the most of the politicians of Pakistan has invested money over here in the properties. They own the whole buildings. I know them very well. So in recreational, it's very good. People are very friendly.
I was introduced to Rizwan in July this year. I was looking for a scarf at an Aeon mall in Cheras and spoke to a Pakistani vendor about his business. Malaysians don't shop as much anymore, he said, and business hasn't been very good, he told me. Bear in mind, the GST was just implemented at that point, so people were spending cautiously. I told him I wanted to share his story here on the show, but he was reluctant, saying, I'm not good at talking to people, but I can introduce you to my successful friend. And he introduced me to Rizwan a few days after that. Rizwan is indeed a successful man. His friend wasn't wrong. He has been doing business of many sorts in different countries since the past 15 years. He has been in the UK, China, and recently he was in Dubai. He also frequents Indonesia and Singapore while he's here. I told him that 15 years sounds like a long time and asked him why he left Pakistan.
Well, Pakistan has been destabilized from 1978, actually. After 1978, when the Soviet Union attacked on Afghanistan, then the CIA came in America, CIA of America came in. Then they helped to Pakistani, the Israeli will come, and they did everything, the whole conspiracy theory goes on. By the 1989, after 11 years of the war in Afghanistan, when they went out, after the death of Zia-ul Haq, he was the former president also, and he was the chief of army staff. In the martial law, this 11 year was a martial law. Whenever the martial law is there, there is no trade, there is no politics. And in between, if any democratic government came in, they were also came here to earn themselves, not for the public, until today. So the thing is, I left Pakistan because government never give any intentions toward public. There is no electricity. There is no pure water. There is no gas. If I establish an industry there and I don't have a light, I don't have a gas, I don't have a pure water, of course in the industry I will hire the people, but I need to facilitate them. But my industry will never start over because of the light is not there. The situation will be awkward.
He then came to Malaysia, particularly because of palm oil.
Because our trade business in a very major part is the palm oil. So the palm oil have is a FTC with the free trade agreement with the Pakistan. So we were very much involved with the Pakistan and Malaysia for the palm oil. So I used to come to Malaysia, just come and go. So they said, why don't you make a company and stay over there to recruit the oil and make the relation with the company so that we can get a better opportunity. And we discussed with our friends over here in the Kuala Lumpur, in Johor Bahru, in other places where the factories are there. They said, why don't you just come over here, just make a company, we will help you out and everything.
Little that Rizwan knew, this was a beginning to an emotional roller coaster for him.
And honestly, one of my friend took 20,000 from me and he ran away. My real friend. And lately when I met with him in a one another party, and then he said, "Sir, I'm very sorry, but you know, we used to say, we are living in Malaysia, we used to say that this is very good and this is very nice, and you come over here, you invested here, but we simply do because we will make some money. You foreigners never know what is Malaysia is."
Now, that last bit intrigued me so much. "You foreigners will never know what Malaysia is like," Rizwan's friend said. That remark sounded as if there was something deceiving about the way Malaysia is reputed to foreign investors. When we come back, Rizwan will talk more about his unmet expectations, the issues he faced as a businessman, and his future plans. Stay tuned. Rizwan is a businessman. Now, he is also a frustrated businessman. When we met, Rizwan immediately jumped into his stories about the challenges he faced as a foreign investor in Malaysia. Our conversation was very emotionally charged, I must say. His friend tricked him and ran away with 20,000 ringgit when Rizwan first shifted his business to Malaysia. Rizwan hasn't been happy with how things have gone for him, so he has a lot more reason to be so when Malaysia's bureaucracy complicated things even more for him. I asked him, what was his expectations of Malaysia before coming here?
The picture that was painted. The painted from the outside when I didn't come, it was a perfect picture. And no doubt I would say, for the business, Malaysia is very good. For the business. So for the business, it's purely is very good opportunity. I mean, it's very golden land to do the business. But internally, when you fall in, to step in the Malaysia to, yes, I want to do business, I want to invest and stay here, then you need to know. Then you actually got to know that, oh, what was painted is, that was good, but this is the reality also.
That sounds really harsh, I thought. And it sounds like he's really just done with doing business in Malaysia.
So when I came to Malaysia, so I started over here, but when I came, I found that on every step, there is a corruption. Means you give 100 ringgit to somebody and you never know either he will meet you another day or not. So when I go to the government department to make an company, again they were saying, you don't have this letter, you don't have this thing, you don't have this thing, you don't have this thing. Bring one this thing. Another day when you take that document, the third day another document. If you got even a comma problem in your letter, you are rejected. So to formulate a company over here, it's make me 3 months to just rounding around the government department that what is it? Whereas where I was living, we simply go there. There is an information counter. We simply go to the counter. We ask that what is the paper list, what documents you need. They give you a documents requirement list. They give you the fee, everything. We simply prepare the document, submit over there. They will check everything. If there is anything wrong, they will say simply you complete it, then come back. We complete it, we submit, we pay the fee. Within 24 hours, we get the company, and within next 24 hours, we got the permit. As a director of the company, that you came here to invest. Neither you've been ruined your life just because of these two things, which is necessary to start a business. And honestly, to start over this business, the agents and the people and the misguidance by the government department and the non-government department people, even the companies who are giving for the help, they ruined me for 1.5 years. And almost for my visa at my own company and my company, I spent it over 100,000 ringgit. So this is a very bitter experience to know that where I am, what kind of a country it is.
Ruzan also said he faced language and cultural barrier here, apart from having to deal with the corruption. After hearing his complaints, it's quite easy to understand his frustration. Some procedures required to start a business in Malaysia also require investors to come in and out of the country multiple times, even before they had anything set in stone. There's no way that they can come to Malaysia and start all the documents in one sitting. As this was happening, Rizwan spent more and more money, and he wasn't very happy about it.
Some more, when I got the company, okay, the real part, how to get a visa. You cannot go to the immigration department or the KDN department to submit your visa until you don't have a legal entity. Well, if you do like this kind of a company formation, how a person can go and come and go, the money is involved in it. All the time you cannot get the ticket from one country to another country, it's going to cost you 2,000 up and down. So you're spending money for the up and down, and then you are coming back, and then again you submit the paper, again there is a change. So every couple of months, I need to go out and then need to come back.
In and out from the country.
Because the visa is not there. When the visa is not there, you cannot start the business. You need to sit down someplace to start over, to meet people. You are new over here. You never know. Already to making a company and office and telephone and aircon and everything to set up a business, you have spent it 50,000. And you got to know that because of the agent, you spend another 50,000, that you need the visa, sir. Well, the company is there, visa is not there, you cannot open a bank account. How you will do the trade? So 1.5 years, I have suffered in a such way, spended the money, but all is gone. Because of visa is not there. You cannot get your visa. Your company is possible. You spend 3-4 months, okay, you get the company, you spend money, you make the everything. But how long you will run after for your visa? The more important thing. And without visa, you cannot go out. The police will catch you there. Then police have their own situation. They stop you. Instead of checking, give us a 50 ringgit. Or go. Give us 100 ringgit. And if they will caught you for nothing, give us 1,000 ringgit. Call somebody. For what? So on every step when we take as a foreigner, we have a difficulty that we have to fight with the government, we have to fight with these goons, we have to fight with this police, which is also a goon. We cannot report anything in the police station if we will be robbed or if we are in anywhere. If we go to the SSM, again need to pay the fee, then the company secretary involved, company secretary fee is involved. Means it's a hell. We are paying GST, we are paying income tax, but we are not getting anything in the hospital. We are not getting anything from the police assistance. We are not getting anything from the government departments. So what for we are been here, invest money, come over here, make a shop or make the business setup and everything, started over, earn money, spend money here, and at the end, we've been kicked out.
I then ask, with all these problems, what are your plans now?
So now we are thinking, means in the future plans, to wind up the Malaysia, make a company in Singapore and Thailand, and handle everything over there, from there to Malaysia. Because when you're sitting in Singapore, at least you are within the laws. Within 24 hours, you can get everything and you will live within the laws, so it'll better.
For now, Rizwan is sure that Malaysia isn't for him anymore. He loves this country. But with, quote, martial law governing Malaysia, he doesn't feel secure living here. When I ask him about his hopes for Malaysia, Rizwan candidly laughs. All I can do is pray for Malaysia. Seems like the corruption is almost incurable, he said.
Well, for Malaysia, I can pray only to Allah. The God give them such kind of things where they can grow up. At least work within the law system. And they build up their system in a well manner. Actually, if we think about last 10 years before, it was a real heaven. It was a real heaven. There was no corruption, there was no nothing. Everything goes systematically. But I don't know why now everything is in the opposite direction. This is very shocking and surprising to be in the business, to be in the trade. But I can pray. And my hopes and dreams are towards in Malaysia. Honestly, I'm leaving. I don't want to work. Means if you ask me to stay here, to be in Malaysia or do some job, I'm ready. If you ask me to do some kind of a business here, sorry. I'm much happier to deal with Malaysians, to be in Singapore, where I'm secured. My security is more important. If my life is there, only then I can work. If my life is on stake, then how can I do? So I'm much better with the Singapore. Singapore is only half an hour far away from Johor Bahru. You can come over there. Most of the industries is over there in Pasir Gudang and all. Main port is there. I don't mind to stay there.
While Malaysia is figuring this out, small foreign investors like Rizwan are leaving. And his solution to his problems, I bet, sounds appealing to many Malaysians too, unfortunately. This is the Evening Edition Migrant Series Far From Home. I'm Rahma Pauzi for BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.